Chairman, thank you, and Commissioner McGuffey. As you well know, we have been looking at for the last several days the potential of a major flooding incident occurring in the northern Nevada region involving Washoe County, Carson City, Douglas, Story, Lyon, and a little bit into Churchill. We have been working and meeting diligently in various locations at various times since Wednesday. We have accomplished putting a lot of things into pre-operation, such as placing sand in sandbags at the industrial complex at Lockwood, Fire Station 74, Fire Station 72 in the Highlands, Fire Station 73 down in Mark Twain, and at the Ice House location here in Virginia City with bags. We currently have about 25,000 bags in stock. We actually updated that with an extra 5,000 bags that we purchased last week, and those have all been not distributed out to the public, but distributed to the locations. As we sit today, I just received some texts that we are going through a good portion of the sand that we have at Lockwood at this time, and I've already made requests through Public Works Director Jason Van Havel to request some more sand at both Lockwood and Mark Twain Estates. So that's in progress at the moment. We've requested two crews from the Nevada Division of Forestry for 22-man crews to go, one to go to Lockwood and one to go to Mark Twain Estates to help filling with sandbags, and we are they are en route as we speak. Staff has been coordinating things for several days, as I mentioned. The ECC will be in, is proposed to be in full activation from 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, Sunday. We have made some prearrangements for sheltering should that be needed. We have made arrangements for a generator should it be needed for the senior center here in Virginia City, should we lose power, as we might be able to use the senior citizen center in VC as some sheltering factors. That generator is actually operational and is at the Public Works. Our maintenance guys got that thing all up and running and everything for us. One of the concerns that we have is for the flooding that occurs, and as we've seen in the past, 97 and 2005 in the Lockwood area, and those concerns are being addressed with the sandbagging issues along Avenue de la Colours and with the drainage factor problems we have in the Mark Twain Estates area. We are addressing those needs and concerns as we get requests already from people for assistance. Nevada Division of Forestry has also sent a flatbed truck down to Mark Twain Estates with their 22-man crew to be able to move sandbags to the homes of people who are elderly and unable to get sandbags on their own. So those are being looked at. Jason Van Havel is actually in Lockwood with a front loader, and he is moving sandbags to the sandbagging location along Colours as needed, and that's being accomplished. We will be the ECC that we would open tomorrow morning at 0800 will be probably at the or will be at the old bank building, the VCCC location, and we have been in touch with Nevada Division of, Nevada Division of Emergency Management. We're coordinating things with them. Austin Osborne has been identified as a public information officer to handle this with backup information officers should that be necessary. State Emergency Management is holding briefings that we have been attending for the last 2 days, and for the Weather Service for the last 3 or 4 days that we have been participating in each morning. The weather that is coming in is weather that is of magnitude that is at least at the level of the 2005 floods that we experienced, not as serious as the 97 floods. So it remains to be seen just exactly how water impaired we become, I guess you could say. We have prepared a declaration of emergency to deal with this matter, and that is what kind of brings us here this morning to process that. With those things in mind, I don't know if Jason Van Havel has been able to get called in at this point in time. Jason, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm here.
Super. Jason, from your standpoint, could you provide a briefing from Public Works standpoint as to what you've accomplished?
Well, at this point, I'm just trying to respond to emergency management, their requests, their needs of getting prepared. Our staff, our crews are lined up to be able to go in 12-hour shifts. We're starting at 6 o'clock tonight, and we're just responding to emergency management dispatch's needs until that time. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have our crews ready to go for indefinitely in 12-hour shifts, just responding to whatever needs, whatever we have come up.
Jason, is Pat. I have a question of you. Are we, either through you, I don't know if we have a fire district representative on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Okay, who's going to be doing proactive patrolling, watching the creeks, watching the culverts?
Well, this is Dean Hamel. Am I going to cover some of the areas? I took my inspectors, showed them all the areas.
Yeah, we'll get to you, Dean. We'll get to
okay,
you.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted me to do that. My guys.
Yeah, in a minute. Jason?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Pat. I mean, I've briefed my guys to keep an eye on things, but we have enough resources that are between the Dean's group and my group and other eyes out there. I do believe there's a lack of coordination of who's really going to do what or if we're all going to do it ad hoc. So that's a great point. How do you want to handle that?
Well, we've got, if you're in a 24/7 mode starting at 6 tonight, I'd suggest you guys are in as good a position as anybody because, we've got fire responding, sheriff responding. We'll get to Dean's plan down the road. But I would have a tendency to say if you could ask your station crews to be taking a look both, particularly in Lockwood, Try, and Mark Twain. So you've got two stations. You know, if you can take a look at those, I think we'd be in pretty good shape.
Okay, we'll take the lead on that and then make sure that we coordinate with the fire stations, with community development, and during the night shift, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., it'll be Jason W., and then the day shift, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that will be me. So we'll coordinate that.
Okay, Jason, also, each of the fire stations have been well practiced in the past at keeping track of the ditches around them and so forth, and looking for any potential problems, particularly in the Lockwood area. And I've spoken with the crews for the stations that they will be doing that as well. So there'll be a good bit of eyes on, I think, as well as I've spoken with some people at TRI, some of the businesses there that will also be having eyes on as well.
Okay, we're good to go.
Okay, so when any of those entities report back to you, Joe, can you please forward that to either me or Jason W.?
Absolutely.
Okay, so fire.
And then Gary or whoever's representing fire on the call, again, can you please send it down the channel that as any observations are made from any of the fire group around the county, if they could please get that information back to me or W.
Yes, we have Battalion Chief Ron Atkins here. If you can come up over here, Ron, and just kind of give a report of.
Yeah, I'm on the line too, Joe.
I'm sorry?
Gary's on the line.
Oh, you're on the line. Oh, okay. All right. Was it halftime?
No, it's over. I'm headed up.
Okay. All righty. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to start reporting willy-nilly. I think everything should be focused and funneled through emergency management, disseminated that way.
Yeah, it will be. I'm sure that we'll get it through the EOC or the ECC, and we'll funnel all that information out to the various locations. Up to and include, should anybody get reports of missing, injured, search type of people or anything, that needs to, technically it's a sheriff's office responsibility, but it needs to be brought to the attention of the emergency management of the ECC so that it can be coordinated properly.
Hey, Joe, this is Tony.
Yes, Tony.
I just talked to the search this morning, and I have 15 to 17 on standby and possibly more.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Gary, further?
Yeah, if it's a report of fire district, we'd be at normal staffing. We've made arrangements over the last 2 days to get the excavator loaded. It's available at Station 74 if needed. I believe the backhoe with the dumb is put back on it in case anything is being picked up out of the river. I know our battalion chiefs have been interactive with these conference calls for the last 2 or 3 days, and they've been briefing me regularly. Otherwise, I believe everything he says, quote, I would throw out that Van Abel, as you have crews out there or anybody, there are kitchen and facilities available at the fire stations, one team, so feel free to go in there and use whatever you need to. And our guys will help you out any way they need to if you need any coffee or food or just a warm place to sit for a minute.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Sheriff's Office, Tony, further?
I just want to reiterate the 15 to 17 CERT members and also the deputies have been briefed on the possible severity and we're ready to go.
Okay, are they also aware to keep eyes for problematic areas to report those in?
Yes, they are.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Let's go ahead with Dean.
Dean Haymore.
I took Tracy and Chris around, showed them the problem areas, Mark Twain, Virginia City, and then I took Chris, showed them all the problem areas and streams watched down at Tri. We're ready, staff, all the vehicles, whatever you guys need. And did you want Stacy there tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at the ELC with you? And then we're just, I talked to Perry's, got that gate open to dump back in the river. Once that new water line got put in for that recycle plant, that cut the ditch that goes all the way down to the old Mustang. So the water diverts right there before Perry's house that comes back into the river. He's, Bobby Perry is very aware. The head gate's closed to Vista. Only when the river rises above Vista, the flood stage, will it pass through that head gate. He said it's really restricted through the Menees now. It's hard to get any water through. He doesn't expect much water to come back through that way. I met with Eagle Pitcher yesterday. They're all prepared. We went and inspected all of theirs. Since that flash flood, they built head walls and opened it up so it can pass all through there. Talked to Tesla, their safety, and their crews are going to be out watching everything and making sure the water passes through. Told them to come up with a couple of different exit plans if we lose it at Milan and Electric, like we have before when the water comes down through there. So we drove all the drainages yesterday. They all look good. A few of the big catch basins at the companies have a little bit of water in them now, not as much as it was 2 days ago when I was in there. So we're standing by. My whole staff at 12-12, whatever you need. I had Stacy and Sarah going to do 12-12 at BLC, and then we were split the inspectors out in the field. Pete's been sick for 2 days, but he's supposed to be getting well, so he can switch to 12-12
to look at Mark Twain Highlands in Virginia City, and then me and Chris was going to split a 12-12 down at Tri and Lockwood.
Okay, what's your view on that Mustang Bridge where it washes out before in the past?
What bridge is that?
The Mustang Bridge that goes over to the landfill.
All those are opened up again. The one bridge at the landfill that they used to go in, and then they put that low water crossing, I totally expect it to go over onto top of that. We have all that area that in 97 that it flooded right up to the roads and everything. The only thing is I looked at Santa Hut. They did have some lower stuff down there that if the water gets up high, it did not get up that high in the 2005, but if it does, we could have some Santa Huts floating down Long Valley. And I told him they needed to get those out of there and move them up, and he says he had no place to put them. But the bridges and all the railroad bridges are open and ready to go. We did take one smaller crossing out there at Denham's and put a bridge in since the 2005 flood, so that's opened up that channel. So Long Valley and Lost Town, they're both up there at the top by All White Aggregates pits. Both of them are open, and there should be no restrictions, except you know we have the ice damming when it starts changing and all that such sagebrush and everything that kind of makes dams and blocks it up, and then it lets it loose and comes through, and that's what we've experienced before up there through Long Valley.
Okay, all right, yeah, I fully expected a problem with that Mustang Swale Bridge there thing, because that'll back up garbage trucks that have made it over the summit, possibly up onto the freeway.
That's the only other thing that we're waiting for. That Swale Bridge is designed to be for water to be taken all over it, and they don't go up that way anymore, they go through the new Mustang Bridge. I know it's still... That's been a past problem, but I think that's pretty well repaired.
Okay, that's comforting knowledge.
Okay, so let's pick off anybody else that's out there that has anything on a brief basis. If there's anybody else on the line, otherwise we'll go with the group that's assembled here in the slammer for this meeting. Okay, hearing none.
I think we're good, yeah. So we'll go... let's go with Austin, PIO standpoint.
Okay. I sent my last update last night about 6 o'clock. Rennell put that on the Facebook, and she's also disseminated to the media and all the other folks on our distribution list. I see that this morning a release was also sent giving a notice to the public of this emergency meeting and the declaration of emergency, and then I'm prepared after this meeting to send another post giving an update of what we've heard today at this meeting as far as the status of our situation. And at that point, I'll be also contacting DPS and some other folks and establishing coordination with them to make sure. Okay. Well, that's all I have to say. And I might have to say it again because maybe I wasn't standing close enough to the right phone.
No, you're good. It's recording. Can you take this around? Follow that.
Okay. And that's all I have. Thank you. Do you want this next, Sherry?
Okay. All righty. Mr. Gallagher, finance.
I sent an email out 2 days ago where we've got a threshold of $1,000 is going to need prior approval. It's going to be on our normal $1,500 budget request form, and I think that will do nicely. So anytime we have an expenditure of over $1,000, send it over to me. And I'll approve that, and then with the vouchers, they will come in as anything that is associated with this particular project is, I think it's 617 is the object code. All 617 object codes will be input by my staff, and then all the P cards will be obviously on your department, but they will be adjusted in my office. So we shouldn't have any problem with the expenses.
Okay, we have received, along that same line, though, we have received some specific layout from DEM as to the format for logistical requests for them that has to do with financial factors. I'll get that information to you.
And then, my recommendation through, particularly through Hugh's office, you know, the fact that we open an ECC tomorrow morning at 0800 does not necessarily mean we need all hands on deck. You know, Dean, I doubt you listened to the briefing from National Weather Service that I'm going to talk about later on today, but there are windows of time where we need to be concerned. So don't just automatically deploy people out there without either overtime authorization from Hugh or direction from Joe as the emergency manager. Anything else, Mark?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Sherry, from your standpoint?
I think everything's been covered. Thank you.
Mary, I don't know if anybody else is having a problem, but I can't hardly hear. I heard Pat partially, but Pat, could you maybe get down one more time? I'm not sure I'm clear on the ECC operation and opening. I apologize if I'm the only one that can't hear, though.
No, it's difficult. Now you know what I go through on Friday sometimes. Again, my caution is, particularly like the Dean's group, is don't just self-initiate. Run it through Joe, and particularly if we're entering into overtime situations, which we will eventually, I want Hugh at least knowledgeable of that, but Joe, again, will be clearing when we need scribes in the ECC. We don't necessarily need them at 0800 tomorrow. We may not need them until 10 o'clock tomorrow night or, you know, who knows. So that's the gist of it, Chief.
Great. Thank you so much. I finally got pieces and parts of that. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, I heard it that time too. So unless we're called, I won't call any bodies in to help unless we're asked from DLC and from Joe.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be just skeleton to begin with, and we'll ramp up as we need to ramp up.
Joe, I have a question for you. This is Jason Van Abel.
Yes, Jason.
Who, when you are not on, then who is the contact for emergency management that's going to be coordinating?
It will be Sherry.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Where are you going? Dave Ballard.
No, just business as usual. Well, with the exception of everybody's on standby if needed. Other than that, we're doing things that we normally do. That's all I have.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I'm just going to add on the PIO. Come over here.
I know you all know. If you get inquiries from
Austin Osborne,
thank you, Joe. If you get inquiries from the public, residents or whatever, first you can send them obviously to the Facebook site. I always remind residents they don't have to be a member of Facebook to look at this information. And also, I don't have a problem if you send my cell phone to folks in the public. I'm not putting that on the Facebook, of course, to get inundated, but I'm fine with that. And they'll get their unified update on everything. Thank you.
Okay, that's one of the things that we'll have to discuss in a little bit is contact number.
Why don't we get through the declaration first and then come back? These are the back.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of want to give you just some background. It did go more detailed than we thought it would, but we can adjourn the meeting and then deal with details. I think that was our plan all along.
Exactly.
So.
Right.
Okay. Did you get a chance? Dave?
You did? Okay. All right. Like, I think we've covered the various departments that we need to cover then. That gives you the kind of an overview of where we are and what we're doing and where we're moving towards and so forth. So
if I can,
yeah, please.
To kind of follow the suggestion of the chair, which is actually where I was hoping we'd get to, some of you on the phone and maybe some of you in here did not listen to the 9:30 briefing from the National Weather Service, Chris Smolcomb. You may know him. He's been before the commission before. He's a tremendous asset. But he gave probably a 45-minute or so overview of both the storm and the flooding. He intermingled not only Weather Service, but the Truckee Meadows flood protection information as well. And I'll defer also to Joe to confirm this, but the long and the short of it is that everything is on track to their predictions, at least matching a 2005 model. I believe somewhere in the slide presentation they had 2005 and a plus sign, indicating that it might fall somewhere in between or above 05 and below 97. And the thing that struck me was the statement that said today and tomorrow are the days to prepare. It doesn't do us any good to declare a state of emergency at 10 o'clock Sunday night, you know, when the river starts cresting at Vista and starts coming our way. So the reason why we're here today is to send a loud, powerful message to the media through Ronell's group and Austin's efforts, and also to go ahead and notify state DEM and the governor's office that we will probably most likely need help to minimize damage and to protect the safety of our citizens. So with that, that's why we called the emergency meeting. And if you have nothing else to add on number two, I think you can go ahead and call for number three, Mr. Chairman.
Great. To witness. Item number three is discussion and possible action. This is direct declaration of state of emergency in consideration of the threat of a severe weather event that may cause in Story County, inclusive of the potential to destroy significant property and threaten lives of Story County residents. This declaration authorizes county personnel to take whatever actions are necessary to prevent further loss of property and injury to the loss of life to as many to be appropriate and available, including requesting assistance from the state of Nevada. So at this time, we'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this the declaration that we're about to read.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing that's, I think, important to add for the record is that Vice Chairman Gilman did not participate, because that would have triggered a different set of needs to record into JAVS and a whole number of things that our district attorney has been guiding us on. So Lance is off the line, but he did make me aware this morning that he has 10 people that are available beginning tomorrow morning at the emergency manager's direction to help sandbag those types of things. So he wanted that that message relayed to the group.
Thanks, Pat. Just one correction there is that Commissioner McGuffey is now the vice chairman, no longer Commissioner Gilman.
I apologize.
At this point, I'm going ahead and I'm going to read the declaration of emergency. Whereas Story County has suffered and is threatened by a severe weather event and predicted that has potential to destroy significant property and threaten lives of Story County residents. And whereas the Story County government does not have sufficient resources to handle a weather event of this magnitude, requiring assistance through mutual aid and State of Nevada resources. And whereas these conditions have prompted Story County, pursuant to NRS Chapter 244 and 414, provide for the statutory authority for an emergency declaration by the Story County Board of County Commissioners in and around the county, and whereas all of the circumstances have severely taxed the county's emergency response resources, including fire, medical, road maintenance, and sheriff personnel, it is hereby declared that a state of emergency exists in Story County, and the undersigned are authorized to take whatever actions are necessary to prevent further loss of property and injury to or loss of life as many to be appropriate and available, including requesting assistance from the state of Nevada. So before I ask for a vote, is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I can get a motion from a fellow commissioner.
Yes, I'll make a motion to move forward with the declaration of the state of emergency as noted.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the declaration of emergency. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman, just for the record, since the date and time are critical components down the road should we need funding reimbursement considerations, the state of emergency that you just approved for Story County was approved on the 7th day of January 2017 at 12:35 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. Is there any other public comment regarding these items? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
Okay, and if for everybody else that's on the line, I'm not even sure where the phone is. You can kill it before you do it. For everybody else that's on the line, why not...